Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, welcome to the 404th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patrons Paul Power, Alexander Vahuli, and Jonah Hines. I'm Matt Enlow.
And I'm Warren Kaplan, and today we have Yuki Noguchi back on the podcast for part two. He's going to spill the beans.
Ooh. This is how you get rich. This is the tea.
The secrets. Yeah, but it's a very slow burn of how you get rich. It's not like you'll be rich tomorrow. We will remind everyone again, we're not financial advisors. Yuki's not a financial advisor. He's just a friend of ours that seems to have made some right moves, saved money properly, is good on great days, is good on not so great days, because he is thinking about his future, and we thought that this is probably valuable for our listeners as well. If you want to see more about what Yuki's talking about, he wrote a pamphlet. I don't know what you'd call it. A webpage called The Filmmaker's Financial Guidebook. It's at yukinoguchi.com/extra/filmmakersfinancialguidebook.html. And he has a lot of details on kind of how he lives his life, what books he trusts. And I found it helpful and interesting. So here's some more stuff from Yuki. But first,
patreon.com/justshootapod is the place where you can throw us a buck or two. Hey,
you want to make a good investment? Invest in this podcast.
You know, maybe you're looking for a tax write-off. This wouldn't be one, I don't think. Talk to your accountant about it.
Dude, if you're a filmmaker and you are donating to a filmmaking podcast that you get some tips and tricks from,
talk to your accountant about it. Maybe it's research.
I'm gonna say the needle tilts towards right off.
Okay, great. Well,
Let me tell you this: if you paid for a Jordan Brady masterclass or a Shane Hurlbut Academy, yes, can you write that off?
Yes, for sure.
So why on earth would you not be able to write off a Just Shoot It podcast Patreon?
Maybe it's donation and not.
You can write off donations.
Well, but this isn't a charitable donation.
What is it?
For profit. Yeah, sure. You're right. I don't know. We're not tax experts. But get ready for an episode about taxes. But in all seriousness, if you want to support the show, whether it's a tax write-off or not, patreon.com/justshootapod to throw us a couple bucks. Keep the show on tracks. Here you are listening to a show that's coming out right after Christmas, in between New Year's. Just like, we have not stopped. Other shows, other podcasts, they're throwing up repeat episodes. They're going dark for a couple weeks. We're coming at you with fresh content during the holidays when you want to avoid your family and you're willing to listen to an episode about taxes.
Hey, Noah, cue the royalty-free Jingle Bells music right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy shooting, everyone.
Just Merry your Christmas. Just shoot, miss. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
We're clearly ready for this year to end. Enjoy the episode.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow-up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Well, I want to shift gears real quick because we talked a lot about gear. Pun not intended.
Ooh, just stepped into Doran.
Yeah, but I want to talk real quick, and I think all three of us maybe have opinions on this, but like incorporating, like obviously, Yuki, you've probably been an S-Corp since you were born, or at least for a very long time. Matt, you have an S-Corp.
I have an S-Corp.
With Chrissy. Well,
sorry, I have an LLC that files as an S-Corp, which is slightly different, but effectively, I think for the purposes of this conversation, I had a like my father-in-law's accountant when I first started doing all of this. And he was just kind of like a normal, you know, guy who just kind of did our taxes or whatever. And that was that. And then I was like, I feel like I'm paying more in taxes than anyone else I know. What is going on here? And when we changed to, we had some friends who had a YouTube channel that was doing really well, that was when they introduced us to our current accountant. And she was like, no, you absolutely have to be filing as an S Corp. And it changed my life. I think I cried the first time. That's not an exaggeration.
That's in character.
Yeah.
Yuki, what's your take on like why you should incorporate and when you should, like, what are the advantages and when should you do it? Like what, basically how much money do you need to make for it to make sense?
So I don't know too much about this area, but I am incorporated. I'm S Corp, and I think this is as simple as if you make over 100K, you should probably incorporate to save tax on it. I think that's all. And if you're,
that's the number I heard too. But do you think it has changed? Because I heard that number like 10 years ago.
I heard this number recently on like a financial podcast. So I think it's pretty close. I thought it used to be 70, but I think somewhere around there, you would have more benefit by, you know, paying yourself payrolls and so forth. And then you get some sort of protection against your own assets that you have, like houses and stuff, I believe.
The reason that I formed my company is that I was being paid to produce my web series, the second season of Squaresville. And so that's when we formed the company, basically. It was like, oh, I need an entity to deal
accept
with this,
the money.
Accept this money. Yeah, yeah. Because a production company isn't going to just cut Matt Enlow a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I formed mine when I did Miss 2059, the Go 90 show, 2015. Oh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, way That's after you, I guess.
Way later than I expected.
2015, so eight years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know. So there has been a lot of laws changing in California where you used to kind of just be able to get paid on a 1099 and you're an independent contractor, and I was just like a sole proprietor or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they cracked down on all those laws right around then, or a little bit after, I think. But you couldn't just take money and write off all these things. You had to have like a business, right? Kind of responsible for you. And so I incorporated and I got, yeah, but they would have happily given me a check also, I think, but I had heard this like $100,000 number. And I think my payment for that kind of set me over it. And I was like, okay, I guess it's time to become an S Corp. And that's when, like, the advantage is you start being able to, like, write off things, right? And so is that right? Because you can't write off things as an employee. Is that true?
That was something that has changed because we were getting paid by W-9. I believe a lot of people are writing things off. And I think somewhere around 2000, I don't know, I guess a while ago, it changed and now we cannot do W-9. And so as long as you have W-2 employees, you are getting taxed on gross income, I think. Mm-hmm. And then if you're a scope owner or corporate owner, you get taxed on net income, which is just significantly different. So you're right, Oren. You can write off things and then adjust your gross income. So adjust net income.
And another way to explain that is like, if you were a bakery, right, you grossed $100,000, but you spent $90,000 on flour, it wouldn't make sense to be taxed on $100,000 worth of gross income. You'd get taxed on the money that you're making, basically. And so cameras are our flour and yeast, basically.
Except the difference is a camera is an asset, mm-hmm. and flour is not. But let's say you make $100,000 and it's the end of the year and you're going to owe $30,000 in taxes. That's one of your numbers, right? 30% is your tax number.
Yeah, I think it's 30%, but I actually just did some sort of tax decoding. I guess decode.tax website lets you know how much your effective tax rate is, mm-hmm. and that was actually much lower than 30%. So my calculation on 30% might be wrong, but yeah, somewhere around 15 to 30%.
That's your rule of thumb, basically. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So let's say you're going to pay $30,000 in taxes, but if instead you go and you take $50,000, spend it on monitors that you maybe might make money off of renting them out, or you might use them for yourself, then now you've only netted $50,000, and now you're going to pay $15,000 tax. So you now have $50,000 worth of monitors and an extra $15,000 in your pocket because that you didn't have to pay for taxes, right? So that's kind of the basis. And then you write off everything, right? You can write off your car, you can write off your internet, mm-hmm. you can write off, I mean, there's controversial things. Like, can you write off Netflix or going to movies?
Mm-hmm. Again, none of us are advisors, but as entertainment creatives, Netflix, I think, actually is something that,
Yeah.
I think it's controversial. That's associated with research.
Research, exactly.
Is write off.
But can you write off Amazon Prime because you ordered some batteries for your camera one time mm-hmm. on Amazon?
I believe so, but if IRS comes out to me, I'll blame on you guys.
But it is like just having access to even be able to make that decision though requires you to incorporate. So
right.
That's and it also, the other thing, because I do think my wife's an actor, she's not incorporated, but she'll write off like headshots and obviously commissions and other acting related things. But I think when you write things off in that way, it's not like if you are self-employed, you have to pay the self-employment tax. You have to pay a 15% tax on all the money you make as a self-employed, non-incorporated person. But if you are employed by your own company, your company pays that tax, but they only pay that tax after they've taken out all their deductions. So they end up paying a lot less, but you can quickly see how this can get complicated and how it might be helpful to have an accountant helping you figure this out. Mm-hmm. Also with payroll, Yuki mentioned, like, let's say you make $100,000, your company isn't going to pay you $100,000. They're going to maybe pay you $40,000 in salary, because the other $60,000 was spent on your travel, on your gear, on your internet bills, your phone bills, all those things. So as it gets more complicated and you need to hire someone to help you, the savings need to be more than that person costs. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's this $100,000 number. And that's why not every single person should incorporate if you're just starting out and you're kind of just like doing little gigs here and there.
I think that $100,000 is where the tax advantage is going to tip in off, and then you would actually start making money by having S corp. Anything below, you can have it, but it might cost you more to mm-hmm. set it up, setting elements of S corp.
And in California, there's a minimum fee to even have an S corp, right? $800.
Yeah, that's like $800. Yeah, so I mean, if $800 is expensive to you, then probably not for you.
And you shouldn't incorporate. Well, I wanted to just, I know we're running out of time here. I want to just touch on one more thing, which is like, so we talked a little bit about gear. Obviously, that's a very kind of active mm-hmm. investment. You're buying it a lot of times because you're excited about the camera. You want to work with it. You've crunched the numbers and it makes more sense for you to own it than to rent it. for like a series of jobs. Talked about like it being incorporated. That also takes some time and writing things off and just part of living life. But I'm curious, as a freelancer, you know, sometimes you probably have like times, quarters where you're making a lot of money and you have a lot of extra cash, and quarters where you're not making a lot of money. When you are making more money and you have some money to save, like what do you do to kind of make that money work for you? You know, what I used to do is I would just put it in my Bank of America checking account and it would literally get 0% interest. And that's when you kind of actually, we were doing a job, I think, in Branson, Missouri or something, and we were at the airport and you were telling me like, oh, you could just put it in an account and it can generate interest for you. And at the time when we were talking, interest rates were really low, like 2.5-3%. And you were like, oh no, you can, if you put it in the right account, you can make 10%. And in your document, your advice to filmmakers is, even if you don't want to know anything about finance, there's a few things that you've done that you've found to be effective as a way to just kind of like have a little bit of money, have your money growing like through life. Can you tell us about some of those things?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's actually not little money, but I think it's going to be massive amount of money. That's the idea. I think so. You know, I learned a lot of investment stuff and like a camera stuff. I probably just learned it by myself, but all the other parts that I had no idea. Like I came from Japan and like, you know, lived here by myself. Like there's nobody to guide me through this like whole thing. And then when I built the Escope, it's like you had to sign a lot of documents. I had to go through government documents and I had to read stuff. Like I have no idea. I'm like, you know, and whole tax, or I guess a stock market stuff, it was a very scary place to be. And I have invested in stocks before, but I always like kind of in a gamble way. I didn't understand what they were until.
What do you mean? Like you're like, oh, everyone's buying Tesla. I'll buy some shares of Tesla.
Yeah, like Tesla, Apple, like you know, like I stuff thought that I would make heard money. Of,
basically.
Yeah, but I didn't really know their business. I didn't know. I didn't read any of their reports and so forth. And ultimately, I think I started reading several books, and then this is my understanding of how it works. And then I think, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, so like you should do your own research. There are a lot of YouTube videos out there that you can watch and like, you know, understand. Yeah. Even Escope stuff, there are so many easy to understand YouTubes. But essentially, I learned that. So I think the best way to invest is ETF, low cost index fund ETFs. Essentially,
what
ETF
does ETF stand for?
I don't know. Yeah.
Electronic,
electronic
fund.
Exchange fund.
Exchange traded fund.
The exchange traded fund. ETF is essentially basket. So you put a lot of, you know, it's like it's a basket that has a lot of stock in it, and there's a rule. So, like you buy the rule. So if you say S&P 500, ETFs, that means the top 500 US companies stock that's divided in their portion in one basket, and you don't have to do anything. And I believe it updates quarterly as they do the reports. So essentially that is kind of very easy way to make money, and I think that's what most of investment is like in the United States. I think that's what people have money in. Like they don't, like if you see like some financial advisors, like kind of financial strategies, like it says a lot of things, but if you read it, it's just kind of mostly S&P 500. So I think I would say that's a really good driving force to build your wealth. And it's usually makes about 10%. A year.
And this is on average. So last year it lost a lot. This year it made a lot, right?
After COVID, it's kind of wonky, but it's been average 10%. I believe it's 8% with inflation. Inflation's about 2%. So it's like 8% realizing. So that is one way to.
So when you say 8% realizing, you mean it actually, the number has gone up 10% a year, but if you account for the average inflation, it's gone up.
Yeah, something like that. Just, you know, just rough numbers. I'm pretty sure if you look it up,
over the past 5 years, it's been up 83%.
But the point is though, like it's kind of, it's a very broad way of investing. Right.
It's just like diversifying. It's diversifying. Like a huge,
gotcha.
And then you can actually buy entire world's stock as well with one click. Like that's kind of insane. Like every
you're like you mean like literally like I'm gonna invest in the stock market.
Yeah.
All of it. Click.
Yeah. And the world economy.
And then they'll just adjust your, you know, percentage based off of the company's reports. So that's like no brainer.
And so, well, let me ask you then, because I think that, Oren, your point at the very beginning of this topic was like, oh, I just, you know, put my money in my savings account and, you know, hope for the best. And Yuki, you're saying you're not making money off of that by leaving it there. But the anxiety I would always have is like, oh, I need to be liquid because it's hard to know when I'm going to need access to that money.
Your passion project that comes
up. My passion project, or just I haven't booked anything in a couple months, or I had a kid. Yeah, exactly. So in terms of taking your money out, are there ramifications? Talk to us about that. Like how, because, and before, you know, you a lot of your money is tied up in gear, right? So like when it comes time to, you know, when the times are tough, it's like, okay, selling a camera and making $60,000, it's nice, but like that's, it's not as simple as pulling out of your bank account, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the camera is kind of in between stocks and houses. It's kind of not ideal to move around. But so I think... Sorry, what was your question?
I mean, it is it about liquidity.
Liquidity, and, yeah.
Well, stock market is very liquid. You can just sell it. You buy ETF today, you can just sell it tomorrow or even at this moment. So that's pretty liquid. If you need the money, you can take it out. The idea is, you know, instead of, like, I think money should be working for other people. And actually, if you think about it, so for instance, if you buy Apple stocks, you're technically investing into entire Apple people. And those people are pretty smart. I think they're smarter than me. And, you know, you get the paycheck out of it. So I think if you think it that way, you want to make sure your money is working all the time, either in some sort of investment. And riskier it is, it has more rewards. So like buying gear to me is riskier than stock market. But I think, it's pretty liquid in terms of, you know, money wise. Sorry, my Siri's going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the simplest way is if you did open up like a Robinhood account and put some money. I think I know use the ticker VOO. I use the ticker SPY, SPY, and it's basically, they're basically the same thing. They might be taxed differently a little bit or work dividends differently.
Yeah, it's almost same.
But
package.
Almost the same thing. But you can literally transfer money from your bank account to Robinhood, $1,000. You can buy $1,000 worth of SPY, SPY. And then in theory, every year it will go up on average 10%. That said, it might go down and then come back up. But over the last... I just looked at the graph from the year 2000 to now. Over the last 23 years, it's gone up about 248% or something. So a little bit more than 10% a year. But if you need the money right now, you can, like you could say you could sell it tomorrow. You could also buy it right now and sell it 1 second from now.
Definitely like it's out there and then risking your money. So for some people, it's not the way to do it. And I think if you're worrying about up and downs, I would say like look into a high yield savings account.
Sure.
Those like today they pay a lot of money. Like I have one that's paying me 5%, and I think it it's FDD insured. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's like a safest of all and it's not going to fluctuate. So that's a good way to look at it. So that's today, that it's 5%.
That's how we saved for our house, actually. Was at the time, interest rates were great. And so it was fun. It was like, oh, we made money on this money that otherwise would have been just sitting in my Bank of America account.
Well, you know, I told you about my accountant who said, I was like asking about estimated tax payments because my last accountant was always like, hey, you got to do estimated tax every quarter. You got to estimate how much tax you pay. And then my new accountant's like, yeah, you know, it's not that important. I was like, well, won't I get penalized? He's like, yeah, you get a 1% penalty if you didn't pay enough. He's like, but you can make 5% if you just put in a bank account. So he's like, just pay it all at the end of the year instead of quarterly, because the money is working harder for you than if you give it to the government. I don't know. That was an interesting thing. And I we've talked about it on the podcast, but I just use Robinhood Gold. It's 5%. Again, you can just put cash in, cash out. It's insured up to, I think, $1.25 million because they take your cash and divide it among five different banks that are all insured up to $250,000. And then you get paid out once a month. And you do have to pay taxes on the interest, of course. And there's other ways to kind of avoid the taxes. It's really only relevant if you are putting in like hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think. But there's two tickers that I invested in. One is called Box, BOXX, which is it's a high yield treasury bond. It's like you make, it's basically 5%, the same thing. It's like kind of very low risk, but if you hold it for 366 days over a year, then you don't have to pay income tax on it. You pay a lower tax. So there's some ways to get around paying. You can minimize your taxes on some of these savings places, but it's not like a 401k and it's not like an IRA where you get penalized for pulling the money out. You know, it is like a very, very liquid. Do you guys, like, when you get a good job and you got like 30 extra grand or something, you ever like put it in one of these accounts?
Well, the high yield savings account, and that's, again,
so you guys still do that.
I spent it on a house.
Yeah.
Well, I bought the house right before the baby and mid pandemic. So I'm still waiting for that extra windfall.
All that extra money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it comes down to, I want to say one more thing before, you know, we move on. But I think to me, I talk to people about this investment stuff, either like just money or like a gear, a lot. And I think the people who don't get it is looking for the return of like, I want a 40% return this year, or like, you know, 60% return in 3 months. Like, yeah.
They're basically the people that talk, that their friends bought Bitcoin and made a ton of money or lost a ton of money.
Yeah, it doesn't, those don't exist. And then if they do, then you will be rich and then everybody would be rich. But I think to me, this might be a little bit of my Japanese side coming up, but it's really about chipping away a small percentage that would compound. I think everybody has to understand compound interest, and just if you don't understand it, just look it up or go YouTube. But essentially, you make interest on interest, and you're selling your time to make money bigger. And then I think 1% counts and 2% counts. I think those, if you can chip away those numbers, if you like, even when you buy gear and if you can buy it 10% less than what the retail value is, that's a really good start, because you're going to probably try to sell it at 70% or 60% of value. So you already covered 10% down. That's a huge drop. So I would say, you know, if anybody wants to buy a gear, just be realistic, keep eye on the numbers, keep track numbers. Like 1%, 2%, that's where things matters. The big numbers, it's going to be too obvious for you. But, you know, I think small numbers, hopefully, it'll be the game changer for the future.
So one tip I learned from Yuki is if you want to buy high-end gear at a discount, like check out B&H Photos because they'll sell like barely used things or returned gear that's like in perfect condition, like an Alexa 35 or something. But you're instantly, yeah, like you keep saying, like getting 5% off, 10% off. And also, yeah, we can do a whole episode on which credit card you used to not pay tax or to get, you know, money back. The one last thing kind of on the investing thing is, can you just explain to us what DCA, like dollar cost averaging, means real quick? Because I think that's the other thing like that you say in your document, which is you can try to time the market, you can try to buy low and sell high, but that's basically impossible. And the best thing to do is just ignore if it's going up or down and to dollar cost average. And so what does that mean?
Yeah, so we never know like the highest point of the stock market and lowest point of the stock market of the year. And nobody can predict this. Even like the people who gets paid a lot, they can't. So let's just assume that they can't. And only one number is what we can all agree on is the average of that year's cost. So essentially, for instance, if you just buy a stock every single day, then you're going to enter the market in average price point.
So if a stock costs $100 on Monday, $20 on Tuesday, $100 on Wednesday, and $20 on Thursday, you bought it at $60 or whatever the average is of those numbers, right?
Yeah, in between. So the big thing that people don't talk about it, I think this applies to gear as well, is that in investment, for me, the defense is a lot more important than offense. Like you would make money by just keeping the money in the ETF. Just look it up. Like that's like S&P 500 just so far, it's been working great. It'll make you rich.
And when you say so far, you mean essentially in the history of the stock market?
Yeah.
Overall, so, I mean, right, yeah.
Stock market hasn't experienced the AI and then ETF and the AI. I don't know how it's going to go, but, you know, I think that's how the entire economy is built upon. And I think there are a lot of books written about and, I think ETFs so far it's so good. And yeah.
Yeah. Like if you look over the last, since 1993, which is how far my chart goes, it's basically, if you would stay in, you'd just made a ton of money.
It's designed to just ride out, basically.
Yeah. But with some tough times, like from, you know, March
2008
to March 2003, you would have lost like, you know, 50% of your value. If you went in March, July 07 and went out in January 09, again, you would have lost 50% of your value. But if you try to ignore those ups and downs and just stayed in it, I mean, now we're just like, you know, if you look, even if you bought at the high of 2007, your money would be worth three times as much now. Yep. So
I think Tony Robbins said the truth is like US recover from every recession, like every single one of them. So, you know, if we have a recession, like most likely we're going to recover. Otherwise, you should be worrying about other things like, you know, someone else taking over the houses and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. And Yuki, when we were first talking about crypto and all that stuff and Bitcoin, and I was like, okay, I'll go in. And I went and of course, at the very top, and then it kind of dropped, and then I got out and I was like super scared. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I'm never touching this insane stuff again. And Yuki's like, yeah, I just keep buying like $100 a week or whatever of Bitcoin, no matter how high. It went up to $65,000, went down to $17,000, keep buying $100 a week. And now it's like, you know, over this last year, it's like made 150%. So it's like people like me who are just so scared to lose money, get in and get out and never look at it again. But people like him that try to ignore the ups and downs and just continue putting in $100 a week, whatever it is, you know, you're probably up, I'm assuming, on Bitcoin overall. So anyhow, it's just some tips and tricks and things, obviously. Yeah, like Yuki said, there's a bazillion YouTube videos on him. It's very easy to get lost on YouTube because many people have many opinions on this stuff.
I think while I was building my deck, Oren was just falling down the investment and rabbit hole.
Day trading stint. I made some mistakes.
Everybody has a phase, you know.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
I had a phase.
You know, I happen to go in at a very bad time and some people go in at a good time and then they think they're geniuses.
Sure. Yeah.
And I thought I was an idiot and I probably was.
I always get stock advice. I'm sorry, off the mic. I always get stock advice from my mom and I'm just like, your highest earning potential was during the 90s and you inherited a house in the Bay Area. Like, you're not a financial genius. You're just
lucky. Yeah.
So fucking lucky. And then also inherited all of my grandpa's AT&T stock because he worked for AT&T his entire life. And it drives me nuts. Anyway, as you were saying, Yuki.
I do not endorse any other way but just doing low-cost index fund. I know Oren's sure. been talking about like crypto and stuff, but I don't that's like something that I don't want people to do because I think that's when things become gamble and that is not a saving. You know, I think low-cost ETF like S&P 500 is really good solution for like if you're 20 years old and if you want to buy a house in 30s, like, yeah, just do that. Like, don't do crypto because,
I didn't mean that. I just meant that was a lesson about dollar cost averaging, which is, anyhow. Well, before we let you go, obviously you're a cinematographer also. You want to tell our audience a little bit about like the types of things you're like love shooting, like you're most into, like what, just like 5 minutes about your cinematography career and like where you see that going or where you want it to go?
Oh man. I think it, as a cinematographer, I wish that I could control where it's going. It's really hard to navigate. And, you know, there's no such thing as like, oh, I want to take this job next. And then like, oh, do I wait till that job comes? Or like, do I take the other job in between? And I think to me is always, it's just a relationship with the director. And then like, I think, I think you have to trust that the direction, whatever it is something, something good's gonna come out, you know. And then I know that like I walk in like a lot of commercials and then some directors don't believe in their creatives or, you know, ability to make something good, but I think still it's their project and their heart's in it. And I think I want to be part of making whatever that is. Like, so I think to me, it's about the people and maybe someday could be about the project, but I think I'm less egoistic about that these days. And, you know, making the team, it's the people that counts and then not the end product. Of course, like end product, you know, if it's exciting, that's great. And move on to the next. But the people relationship, I think it lasts much longer than for sure 30 seconds commercial. So
or even a 6 second.
I realized it's been a minute since I've looked at your reel, Yuki, and I see a lot more car stuff. But yeah, like the car stuff looks pretty slick, man. Yeah, the driving stuff looks good.
Yeah, they edited very well, you know.
Yeah, well,
I'll give them credit.
Yeah, it looks nice, man.
And your Cheez-It spots, man, pretty round.
Yeah,
pretty round. Well, do you have a few minutes to join us for some unpaid endorsements?
Yeah.
So my unpaid endorsement is our old pal, Dean Peterson, who was on episode, I want to say 76 of Just Shoot It. It was a long time ago.
Great gas company.
Back then, he had made a film called What Children Do. I think there's some problems with the audio. I emailed them later, like just recently, and he was like, oh yeah, we lost half the audio. Anyway, he is an awesome filmmaker who has started a YouTube channel specifically about independent filmmaking that I've really, really been enjoying. I believe the YouTube handle is Dean Peterson, but with a 2 instead of the T. and Peterson. Dean Peterson, he's got two YouTube channels. The one I'm specifically endorsing is at Dean Peter 2ON. So instead of an S, a 2. And it's specifically about filmmaking. And it's apropos to this conversation because he actually has a lot of really great advice and a lot of really thoughtful video essays. But he talks about, this whole thing is about just kind of like just shooting it, frankly, just kind of getting out of your own way, building your own deadlines, forcing yourself to make things. And he specifically is really interested in a very indie approach to making things. You know, he's like, back in the day, we maybe would have used the word mumblecore, but like stripped down, bare bones sort of filmmaking, and advocates set of vintage Nikon primes that you can cut, you can buy for like $200 a piece that have a ton of character, but they're all still lenses that you then outfit with, you know, gears and things like that so that you can use them for cinema. But what I like about it is it's like no one's ever going to rent these lenses from you. It's purely an investment in your own filmmaking, but it is a very low cost way to establish an aesthetic for yourself or decide on an aesthetic for yourself and then just be able to shoot with them forever in a way that like you could do with maybe Rokinon lenses or something like that. Those are still pretty darn expensive. But just like having kit to go shoot something with could be pretty exciting. And he talks about all sorts of other things as well. The film that changed his life and how it's informed his approach to filmmaking and all sorts of good stuff. So that's my endorsement. Dean Peterson's second YouTube channel, at Dean Peter 2ON. Yuki, what you got?
So I touched on this a little bit, but I'll do two. So one is Notion. I don't know if you guys know about Notion, but some people do. And it took me a long time to get into Notion, but currently entire my life is on Notion. I cannot do anything without it.
So I've used Notion a little bit, but I'm curious as to how you use it. I use it at work to like build out processes for like, okay, this is how I want people to start delivering an asset or whatever. How do you personally use it?
Personally, so I read this book called Building a Second Brain, and it talks about how you should digitally organize your brain. And then they like one of the Notion's best use is that building a second brain. But how I use it, I think it took me a while to get in because it's really cranky. Like it's just not really smooth. It can't do certain things, and like it's not as like easy as Google Doc. But one way I started seeing it is so Notion. If you haven't used it, Notion's like a database that you can create. So it's like a Google Sheets. But just think of Google Sheets as like you can go into each sheets and then you can create another Google Sheets on top of that.
Like
Google
it
Sheets.
It nests.
Yeah, you can nest itself, and then you can like create like a different kind of, you can add the column to do anything. So like, for instance, like I have, I track my gear on Notion, as I said before, and I have to-do lists on Notion. I have like a journal on Notion. I have shopping lists on Notion. And like everything's kind of tying to each other. I also do my project page on Notion now. And it's all organized within that ecosystem. And I think, you know, you're a filmmaker who likes to have your customized database. Notion's a great one.
And you can put images and videos and stuff in there too.
Videos, I'm not sure, but images for sure. You can put the link on it. It's not presentable. It's just for you to take a look. You can share the page with other people, but again, it's so cranky. Like some stuff is like, I don't know why it doesn't work. Like you can't export like the PDF or like. It's just stupid sometimes.
But it's sort of like it's the wiki for Yuki's brain, basically.
Yeah, it's like a website that you're a website that you're building for your own like sake. Yeah,
it's cool. I do that in Notes, but it's not very
organized. Yeah, I used to do that. I think you're going to like it. Like, once you get in, you can't get out. So watch out.
Awesome.
What's the second one?
Oh, yeah. The second one, since this is financial podcast, I guess I'll just go with this, my favorite app called Copilot app. I think it's called Copilot.money. But anyway, so this is like app to track your finances. And I started using it like 5 months ago, and I love it. I tried to use different kind of track, like money tracking software before, and then this is by far the best one. It's so easy to use. And it kind of tracks your net worth. So it tracks the entire, your debt, your investment. You could even track houses. So it's kind of cool to see where you are. And I do use QuickBooks for tax purpose, but like I didn't have one that's like a seeing that entire picture. And now Copilot can tell me like how much money I'm spending every month, and based off of that information I can make decision on how much I want to invest in something or what I'm really spending money on.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out too. I watched Poor Things last night.
Oh,
pretty crazy movie. Great use of 4mm lenses.
I did see The Favorite and loved it, and I was like, I think these are the widest lenses I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah, there's some shots that look like a peephole. Like they're totally 100% vignetted.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Emma Stone is just, it's just such a bonkers role for a human being to play. It's worth watching. It's a little like long. It's a little like episodic. Like you kind of are going on a journey with her from place to place. So it's like kind of, in terms of like tracking the story, it's like kind of hard to guess when it's going to end, where you are at any point. But if you're okay with that, it's like, it's good and so weird and disturbing, but also she's crazy. And Rami Youssef is in it, who's, I thought, really good. The other thing I was going to mention is just, I had a meeting with someone the other day, and he said, you know the saying, it doesn't hurt to ask? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. He's like, that's not true. Because basically we were talking about negotiating something that we kind of agreed to already. And now that we're seeing how much work it is, we're saying, hey, we kind of think we deserve more money, and we would like more money for this thing. And he was like, look, I can go talk to them about this, but you need to be really specific with why and how important this is to you. Because that saying, it doesn't hurt to ask, is, it does. Like, this will hurt to ask. Like, you know, you've already agreed to do this thing at a price, and now you're going to be the people that said agreed at a price, and now you're not agreeing. And like, there's a lot of many situations, it doesn't hurt to ask when you're at a store, when it's someone, a stranger, but when you're forming relationships, sometimes it does hurt. Like, I'm sure you've had experiences as a manager, Matt, where someone's like, hey, can I take next week off, even though I took last week off? Mm-hmm. And even though your answer is no, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, the answer is yes, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Right. But either way, it's like, so it does, it just, you know, we had a whole episode about like myths and truths, and I thought it was like an interesting one that my whole life, it's like, yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask, doesn't hurt to ask. Like, you know, depending on the situation, sometimes it does hurt to ask. So just keep that in mind when you're
your endorsement is not asking
me to go grab a coffee with you for something that you could have just emailed me about. Okay, cool. Well, Yuki, if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
My website is yukinoguchi.com, and my Instagram is yukixnoguchi. So those are the two places.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And if you want to email us questions that we can forward on to Yuki, or, you know, you should follow him on Instagram personally and DM him. But if you want to get in contact with us, we're at Just Shoot It Pod across all social media. You can email us at justshootitpod@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram at okaplan.
And I'm at Mr. Matt Enlow. This episode was edited by Noah Bayshore. Thanks, Noah. And produced by him as well, along with additional producing by Tyler Small. And you're listening to music provided by the Free Music Archive and the artist Jazar. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.